You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray, and I'm Monique Leray, coming to you from Paris, France, Paris. And I'm loving my little wallpaper background here in my hotel, very Parisian. And today we have an amazing show. Before we jump in with our very amazing guest, I want to recap real quick the travels that I'm doing with the pandemic film. As a lot of you know, if you've been watching my show for the past 12 months or so, you know that we've been doing a documentary on the pandemic, and we are now doing the international version. So I'm here in Paris. This is country number 7. There's 15 on the schedule. We have one more country this week, and then I'm back to the U.S. Quarantining and getting ready to go to the next place, right? So I want to keep my finger on the pulse with some of the brands in Southern California and L.A. and worldwide. And one of those brands right now who I'm loving, who is doing great things for women, for the environment, for herself. She's amazing. Jennifer Eden from Tampon Tribe. How's it going, Jennifer?
Hi, Monique. It's great. I can't believe you're in Paris. Like, what an ambitious project, everything you're doing. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for being here. I know Sundays are downtime days. I'm kind of a crazy workaholic. I like to start my week on a Sunday at 4 o'clock with the startup. So thank you for being here.
Why not? I'm happy to. It was actually good because I'm actually speaking from our warehouse right now. In at West Adams in LA, and it was a great opportunity for me to actually get in and put my head down and get a few hours like really concentrated work done, so I totally appreciate it.
Yes, sure. No, and I love the area that your warehouse is in. Congratulations on that space. It is the new, I told people this a few years ago when I was living in West Adams. I posted something on Facebook or wherever and said, this is, feels like Bed-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, New York, 10 years ago, right before it started getting really sexy, right? So I feel like West Adams does have that energy, but with the Southern Cal twist. And as you guys can hear, Jennifer has an accent. She's from Australia. She's a worldwide entrepreneur. Why don't you give everyone your bio, Jennifer? Tell us exactly how you started Tampon Tribe and who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So yes, you're right. I'm from Australia. I grew up in Sydney, which was amazing perspective, I think, and a great fun way to grow up as, you know, a young person. And I actually began my career as a broadcaster and news reporter. And I really love new things. And so I love traveling through Australia with that craft and working in different industry, then moving into more marketing and business. And for me, it's a very similar, I guess, skill or attribute to have in terms of communication. You know, whether you're running a business, whether you're writing a story, whatever you're doing, if you can't communicate the message, you know, it doesn't matter how great you are.
So
I found a really good crossover for that. And I actually found myself in Beijing in China, where I was working also in media and then marketing and business. And I met my business partner there and did the marketing for her businesses in Beijing. And then we grew some companies together, some restaurants and what have you there, and ended up in LA. So there was the abridged version of my life. And we were in LA probably about, 6 years ago now. And we came for one particular business with a group. And when that didn't work out, kind of like you, you know, we sit down and go, right, what can we do? You know, what's next? Rather than think, oh my gosh, it didn't work out, let's just leave. And she's from Brazil as well. So she brings another perspective, you know.
Yeah.
So we thought, wow, we think LA is amazing, you know, and the opportunity, as you know, to be an entrepreneur here. And to be around a lot of people that kind of really support what you're building. You know, you don't find that in so many places. Like a lot of places like, oh, that's a great idea. How about you go and get a job?
California's great for entrepreneurs. Oh, sorry.
So good. Yeah, no. So good. And so We were in Santa Monica and, you know, we had a few business ideas to begin with. And, you know, you kind of run it in your mind for a week or two and you're like, yeah, that's not so good. Oh, you know, you're trying to test it out and not so good. And then it was funny because we thought, what could we do that really combines a few things? First of all, it's a good business. And it's something that we're pretty passionate about, you know, and we were looking at a lot of different things that I guess, you know, what goes into that. One of them is health and the access to health and the access to products. And there's such a big disparity, right, in that on who can afford organic products. And you have this big gap in services and period products for the rich versus the poor. You know, there are still hundreds of thousands of girls here in the US that don't go to school when they get their period, which we're also working on. You know, can you believe it? It's unbelievable.
I can't believe what I just heard, actually.
Right.
It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. It shouldn't be right. But it is. It is. So we're actually working on a nonprofit to, you know, to see if we can combat that. And we donate, we have a one-for-one model. So we donate a lot of products on a monthly basis to underserved youth and homeless on our streets and what have you in LA. Wow. But yeah, so we were thinking, how do we kind of like create a product that is beneficial to health and the environment, which is we're also really passionate about. You know, as you said, I'm from Australia, Gab's from Brazil. We have a very strong focus on plastics and the earth and sustainability. It's kind of in our DNA where we grew up. And yes. And yeah, we kind of went into shops here and we didn't see much when it came to period products. We're like, what are these old, like outdated products developed in 1979? You know, this is awful.
What's this contraption?
Like, I know, exactly, really. And in Australia and Brazil, the funny thing is we actually have a ton of really modern products. I'm like, this is a bit weird because America leads the way in so many things, right? Yeah. You know? So, yeah, anyway, we did our research and then actually Gabby said, well, maybe we could do organic and sustainable. I'm like, there's no way. It's going to be too expensive, you know? Mom would have done it. You know.
Well, isn't that the misconception with sorry to cut in here, but isn't that kind of a misconception when you want to do something organic or raw or healthier? It's kind of felt like it feels like it's gonna be more expensive. It's put out there in our psyche kind of, but really sometimes sometimes no.
Correct. You're totally right. And I was thinking that as well. You know, I was thinking that exact thing, like, well, we're never gonna be able to do it for the price that we need to. And we found some great manufacturers and it worked. And I'm like, we can do this. This is awesome. You know, we can create something a little different. And so all of our products are totally organic. So we don't use any fillers or any synthetics. So a lot of products on the market, they'll say organic on it, but then kind of partly organic. You know, they might have an organic cotton cover or they might have some part of it might be organic, so they can use the word because it's unregulated. It's a somewhat unregulated industry.
Oh wow!
You don't need to say it's so nuts. Like, all you need to do to run like a personal care product is pay a license fee, and that you don't have to have your ingredients on the box. You don't have to have anything, which is insane, right? These are products we put in and on our bodies.
And you know, guys, like, this reminds me of the vitamin industry, the supplement industry. I used to be in the fitness industry back in my early 20s when I was running track coming out of school. And I remember us selling the supplements at this certain gym. I won't name the name, but they said that it's unregulated Wild Wild West. You could just say something's in there. And the reason why the vitamins we sold were better is because it was of pharmaceutical grade. So somebody was looking at it with some type of certification of something, but that blew my mind. So this is crazy too.
Same thing. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Same thing. So you know, you I think the brands are now getting a little more responsible. You know, like I think it's on us to say, hey, this is what is in our product. And I have seen a really, particularly with other smaller brands like ours, a lot more transparency. Like some of the companies that used to say just organic, now I see on their packaging that they'll write organic cotton cover. And I think that's fair, you know, like just be honest. So, you know, your customers, there's room for everyone in the market. You know what I mean? Some people want this product, some want that. We all have our market. Yeah, so we only use, and we also only use certified organic cotton. So there's a, you know, couple of certifications in terms of sustainability and organic. So we make sure we source all of our cotton from small growth farmers, and it's quite a process, you know. And then we're also plastic free. So yeah, we don't use any plastic. So we're totally vegan, totally hypoallergenic, and that's just who we are. You know, that's what we wanted to create. So. That resonates with people. Yeah, it's great. So we love it. And as I say, I think there's room for a lot of brands in the market, which is great. Some are green leaning.
Yeah, you're going to always be around because someone's going to need your products at some point in their life for a long few years, right? Like this is a block of time.
We hope so,
going to need it.
Well, actually, yeah, and from a startup entrepreneurial perspective, you know, we really loved what Dollar Shave Club was doing. You know, they had this really sassy brand. It was this recurring revenue. He was like really straight to the point. It's like, these are my razors and this is what they do and stop paying all this money. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, I would want to buy this product. And I thought, okay, well, how can we do this in our space? So, you know, that's what we set out to create. And since then, we do direct to consumer. So, you know, you can jump on the website and you can customize your product, which is something else we do, which is different. So you can mix like your tampons with pads or panty liners and put it all together. So you don't need to buy, you know, 10 boxes of product to get your mix. You can just go online and you can like, oh, I want four of those, three of those, two of those, put them together, ship them.
You can mix
and match. Exactly. And, yep.
Jennifer, you know, you just gave me an idea, and I don't know if you're already doing it, but I love to do this on my show, and the light bulb comes on because it's the entrepreneurial energy, and it happens a lot. But I was thinking, what a cool way to do, like, if you did that mix and match package, and you did like a congratulations, you got your first period package, or welcome to the 100%. Girl Club.
Well, actually, we're going to be launching that toward the end of the year because we have one new product coming up in a few weeks, which is super, super exciting. We're launching a new range of period underwear, which is – it's like taking it to the next level. And this is a huge, huge sector of the market, and particularly in the tweens market, like the girls. They don't want to wear a tampon. They don't want to wear a pad, but they'll wear some, like, cool, cool undies that do the same thing. So once that hits the market over the next few weeks, then we're going to put together that first period kit so people can really try it. You know what I mean?
And that's really cool.
You're totally on it.
Welcome to the, you know, there's so many things going on, and, you know, you and I were talking off camera about being a workaholic, and I was saying how today I have been running from country to country to get this film done and kind of do Man on the Streets, and I hit the wall, and I literally just said I need to give myself permission today to sit right here in my hotel room and reorganize everything, my luggage, the next place I'm going, my mental, my emotional, and I felt guilty about it. I have not left my room. I went down to the reception to get my key renewed, and that's the only place I've been. I think I got some water. And why do you think that is, and is it that rare, and do you feel that way being a workaholic yourself?
I would feel the same. I would feel guilty, you know, and I'm trying so hard to change that, you know, because, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong about being a workaholic. I think it has a negative connotation, but we can take it with, that's how we achieve things, right? That's how we create. That's how we get to different heights in our life and how we pivot quickly. And like you said, when we were chatting off air, you were talking about stepping on the gas when COVID hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like most people pulled back, and I was the same as you. We added more products. We reached out to customers. Like, how can we, how can we explode through this period? You know, and while we're all working remotely and doing the best out of our living rooms, and you know, how do we get, how do we do this? You know, So I think workaholic comes with some benefits. However, we need to give ourselves permission, like you said, to just stay still.
How
I was the same. I was the same today. So I thought, oh, I'll work all day, then I'll do, you know, have a chat with you. And then I thought, you know what? I had this thought, maybe I'll just watch some of the Olympics on TV.
I haven't even seen the Olympics.
I thought, I'll give myself an hour. Then I thought, well, if I'm going to do that, I really could be doing a workout, or I should be doing this. You know, I didn't even, as soon as I gave my mind permission to take an hour break, mm-hmm. it went to like, what could I fill this hour with that would be better? You know, like even around the house, like what could I do? And I was like, wait a second. When do we just give ourselves that hour?
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing, you know. But I'm the same as you. It's a weird guilt because you're accountable to yourself, and we hold ourselves to very high standards, right? And that's very good because that's how we achieve. But yes, I definitely could improve on that, you know, not checking the emails, not being so on all the time. And it probably benefits the business actually more than we know it. Like having a couple days break, gosh, imagine that, or a day.
Right. When you said a couple days, I'm like, what does that look like?
Panic.
It looks like panic and fear and disgrace. No, but I was thinking, you said that you took like a swim, and I wanted to offer this transparency to you entrepreneurs out there who are managing and juggling a lot of the different things that, you know, even Jennifer is right to say, go take a swim, give an hour to watch the Olympics, go get a massage, take off, what do you like? And I'll do all my stressful lists. Like I have a, you know, like you have the color code of things that are the things you want to do and the things you do not, that you have to do. So I'll do my stressful things while I'm working out on the bike. Cause I feel like as I'm putting out that stress energy, my body can get a workout. So, you know, the 30 minutes I'm on the bike in the morning, I compartmentalize that with the harder stuff. And then, but I think today, you know, you don't want to, you want to give yourself a voluntary break, and you don't want to have a breakdown, right? Like a really bad one.
Correct.
So you have
And that happens, you know, you see it for people all around you. Sorry, I interrupted you. You see it all the time, you know. When we don't give ourselves that break, we do have a little mini break. Grant, or people who are close to us get affected. You know what I mean? You take it out on someone. You don't call for me. You know, I don't call my parents because I'm too stressed. And I'm like, that's not good for anybody. You know what I mean? Like you're missing out on the enjoyment. I mean, I still love to go out and I see my friends, and you know, we have. I'm sure you do too. We have a good full life. But there's also that time to just bring a little bit of balance. And I think when you in that entrepreneurial space, I don't see like work versus life. It's just one for me. You know, I don't have that delineation, like that's work, that's life, because it's such a crossover. This is my life, you know,
right.
This is what I do, and that's fine.
Interesting.
But within that life, just you have to, like you say, inject that massage in, go for a swim, take a walk, smell the roses, you know, listen to music. Yeah, whatever it is, read a book. I mean, I have so many actual novels that I want to read, like actual books as opposed to business improvement or,
Name a couple. What would be on your list if you had a long flight to Sydney tomorrow? What would you read?
I have two new books. One that I started, it's an Australian book called Boy Swallows Universe, and it's a popular Australian book. It's a really cool novel set actually where my younger brother lives in Australia. And it's kind of a quintessential read right now. And another one I just got, so funny. I met a guy randomly. We were playing pickleball, which is what I do. Sounds funny for a break. It's like mini tennis. It's so nuts, but so fun.
Nice.
And he's an author, and we just started chatting, an older man. And I thought, I really want to read your book. And I just got it off Amazon. I think it's called A Book That Shouldn't Be Read, something like that. And I can't wait to read it because
smart title.
Right. And I met the author, and he's working on a new work. And I'm like, I need to do this, you know, dig down. And I'm also reading
In
the Country of
this
Men. So I've got three. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, your background. You're totally right. And I carry it around with me. Like I carry the books with me in my bag. And
all right.
Get off the phone and read, you know, just do something for your mind.
Maybe I'll check in with you here in about 2 weeks and see how many chapters down you got. Maybe we'll
okay.
do a book challenge.
Then I'll have to do it. Yes, yeah, yeah. Then I'll have to do it.
That helps you pull you, yeah, being accountable or something is
100%, is a good 100%.
So let me ask you, here, we have a few more minutes. I want to ask you for your top, now this is something off the cuff, but what are your top strengths, would you say, as an entrepreneur, or qualities about yourself that you've identified, or maybe your partner, Gabby, or someone, you know, that's close to you knows about you, that you feel is a must-have, or must-haves to being a successful entrepreneur? Maybe give us, you know, 3 to 5 of those.
Sure.
Qualities. Yeah.
Sure. I think my first would be, I think you have to be fearless as well. You have to have the ability to feel fear. It's a good, healthy thing. And then recognize when something's a good idea or whether just to work through it, you know, because this is not for the faint-hearted. You know, if you are someone who hesitates or is unsure of things, it's not the right, the entrepreneurial pursuit's not for everyone, right? You've got to have this level of courage. And that's kind of when you're a kid, like you climbed the highest tree, you jumped off the mountain into the, I think you need courage. And I think that's something that's in you. For me, you know, I like taking risk. But then when I speak with Gab, because she works, it's funny, we run the company, she works in Brazil, I work here. She's even more fit. She's even more fearless, you know, than me. And so I look at that and go, wow. You know, so we take from, I think from a business partnership, you give and take from each other, right?
Yeah.
And that's really, really cool. So, yeah, you need to be resilient. You need to have courage and be fearless. And you need to be a little street smart, I think, because you do a lot for yourself. You know, you do everything yourself. You set up your business, you go through all the legal part, all the licensing, all the admin side of like a business, you have to do, right? You don't just pay, I mean, I guess you could pay someone. But that's a different thing, you know, to be really setting something up and to be a true entrepreneur, the ability to kind of be like this jack of all trades, like be able to disseminate information and make quick decisions, I think is something that is a strength.
Interesting.
And putting those things together, I think is good. And be prepared for 3 or more years of knocking on doors, right? You know that, getting rejections, getting the
three
nose.
3 or 4 or more normal years without a pandemic thrown into there.
Right, exactly. And for us too, you know, like we've been here running this business. We had businesses in Beijing as well, you know, and Gabby had businesses before that in Brazil. I had worked, my family had businesses in Australia. So, you know, this is kind of a lifestyle. You have to be a little tough. Yeah. And be prepared to put in the hours. Like I say, you know, you got to have a bit of workaholic in you, I think, like, and always striving to be the best, and that can be annoying to people around you.
You know, and I think it, like, these, thank you for sharing those traits and characteristics that you think are, because I do agree with every one of those. And you know, do you think it's linked up to like self-worth? And do you think it comes from your childhood? Are you born this way? Is it sociological? Is that the right word? How do you think it's, I mean, I guess that's the great question, the great mystery, you know, how it's all put together. Because like you said, your partner in Brazil is going hard and you're going your speed, which you think is going hard, and you're like, I can go harder, you know? So.
Right. I think it's a combination of all, because I think some people come in as an entrepreneur because they're a fantastic scientist. You know what I mean? They have a real skill, and then they translate that to business and they learn the business side. For me, it's more, I've always been a bit of a go-getter person from when I was a little kid, and I take things a little seriously, you know, from what my parents tell me. Like, I always have fun and love to be with people, but I'm pretty serious in what I do. You know, if I start something, I like to finish it, and I like to do it well, you know, much to the annoyance of people. And sometimes that can take years. Like, I'm not saying you got to finish it tomorrow. Oh my God. I won't even put the camera on the other side of my desk here with a pile of papers and three boxes, right?
You're right.
So I think it's a combination. I think there is something that's in you. Everyone I've met, in my experience, who have had their own business in all different forms, you know, and I'm pretty fortunate to meet a lot of entrepreneurs here in both Southern and Northern California. And I think there is a level of something inside, like a little fire that's burning, you know?
It's a little
and
fire.
I think that comes innately in you. I think whether you have that opportunity growing up for that to grow is another thing. Like I say, I was really fortunate. Like, I was fortunate in my schooling. You know, I grew up in Sydney, Australia, which is an easy place to grow up. You know, my parents are super supportive. I'm from a strong and supportive environment. Nice. My friends are too. So I guess I've been fortunate because not everybody has that. You know, a lot of people I see online and in groups, you know, their spouse doesn't even support them. So, you know, to have that supportive environment, and then the rest, you can also learn. Yeah. I personally don't think doing an MBA is the way to be an entrepreneur. I think it's something in you, like setting up the lemonade stand when you're six, or, you know, I went and got a job. My mum, I wanted a pair of roller skates. My mum said, you better go get a job. So I'm like,
right,
all right.
Same as me.
So I did, right?
Same. You're like, oh, not only am I going to get a job, mom, I'm going to own the skating
rink. Yeah, right? And so you did. You did it. And we were probably 6 and 8 years old. You just went and found something. And so, that's in you, I think. That's hard to learn. You can approach business in a different way, sure, with a much formalized structure. And you can do very, very well. And I've seen people do that. But from my experience, it's more a little fire.
I love it. Yeah. You're kind of showing me that a lot of us, especially extreme workaholic entrepreneurs, I consider myself to be an extreme one. And it sounds like you're right in my tribe, tampon tribe. But, you know, I'm finding that there's a lot of parallels. We started early. We wanted something. Our ask, you know, if you listen to Abraham Hicks, the ask that you put out in the universe was pulled you to a greater place. Your ask was larger. And so you cast a wider net and, you know, you went harder and you went taller and wider for things. So, but I find that it's starting younger, and that is a perfect little ingredient with opportunity. And maybe you didn't have it, but you made the way. And I agree with you about the MBA thing. I took this time in the pandemic to finish just my associate's degree in global business. And it's kind of funny how, you know, I'll be done, I think, by the winter, hopefully. But you know, I just wanted to have the paper catch up with the street smarts, you know, the book smarts.
Yeah.
Kind of catch up. And what do you say, we have just a little bit here, if people want to order your products, where can they find you? What's your social media handles? Give us all the plugs.
Yeah, sure. So we're pretty easy to find. If you go online to tampontribe.com, you'll find us. Our handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, crazy, huh? All at Tampon Tribe, or you know, hashtag or pound Tampon Tribe. So we're easy to find, and you can reach out to me. I'm very easy to find and via email on our website, or jennifer.eden. My last name is E-D-E-N at tampontribe.com. And yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And if you have questions or come support us, that would be amazing. Yes. I really appreciate
it. You are so welcome, and it's been a pleasure to have you. And it's funny that your Eden last name is Eden. It's kind of the beginning of all the women, right? According to the Bible.
There
so Tampon Tribe, Eden. There's something kind of cool going on with that.
I'll take it. I'll take that birth.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. And listen, I'm gonna actually message you right after the show. I have a quick idea for you, and I want to do it before I leave this space. You guys, follow Tampon Tribe. It is a feel-good brand. I support feel-good brands, and we'll be doing a lot more things with them, hopefully, in the future. Thank you so much for your time. And you guys, if you want to do the pandemic film, if you have a COVID-19 story, entrepreneur story, survivor story, if you have an opinion, and you're going to be in the areas coming up, I will post the next cities we'll be in. Email me at CapAquariusMedia at gmail.com. That's Capricorn and Aquarius, CapricornsMedia at gmail.com. And I ask you this every week. Shout out, by the way, to Michael Silberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino. Thank you for your support. What will you start up today? See you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.